we welcome into the program the state senator from the 9th Legislative District, Senator Mark Schessler. Good afternoon to you, sir. Appreciate you joining us today.
Great to be back with you.
So, a few things certainly for us to touch on, Senator, as we prepare for the next legislative session, budgetary session that it will be, and of course, in accordance. Earlier today, the governor decided to outline, in fact, he was here in Tri-Cities earlier this week, outlining some thoughts for his climate agenda, and then outlining his budget earlier today. What are your thoughts on what the governor would like to get accomplished in this budgetary cycle?
Well, I think on the visit to the Tri-Cities, I'm really happy to know that after 10 years, the governor discovered the benefits of nuclear energy. You know, our good friend Sharon Brown talked about small modular reactors, how they could be a solution, carbon-free, new technology's great, and now 10 years later, the governor's discovered it. So we give credit where credit is due. He's discovered the value of nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm going to take it that is the positive that you've gleaned.
You know, I think we always have to find something positive in everything, and I don't disagree. I mean, I think that discovering that nuclear power could be better than covering hundreds of acres of land with solar panels, every roof with solar panels, bird blenders everywhere. Here's something that really makes sense, and the Tri-Cities does it better than anybody in America.
I like that bird blender, so I'm going to remember that one.
Unfortunately, he's still in pursuit of removing the Snake River Dam, so I'm hoping that he's not looking at nuclear energy as being the be-all, end-all to potentially push, or in his continued push, to replace and tear out the Snake River Dams.
Well, I don't think he's given up his allegiance with the more radical elements.
No.
But if we go to a electrified economy for transportation, all of our heating, we're not looking at replacing sources, we're looking at adding, because if you meet their electrification goal on vehicles, heat pumps instead of natural gas, food processors converting over to electricity, on and on and on, it's not a matter of replacing, it's adding.
Well, and we know the Snake River Dam situation is not, it's not a reasoned situation, it's an agenda-driven situation. At the federal level, they're spending billions of dollars to retrofit dams to be able to produce hydro energy. So looking at four dams that have been doing that and produce three quarters of the power, that it's not a reasoned agenda. It is just a simply placating agenda to want to remove those dams.
Well, if climate change is foremost on your agenda, it should be just about the last thing you would do.
Yeah, because it's clean and it's affordable, and you know, decades ago they had the foresight to put fish ladders in to help, which they seem to be working, because we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. If they didn't work, the fish would be gone.
Well, you know, we have Homer Simpson over in Idaho that would dearly like to breach our dams, but he hasn't discovered the idea of fish ladders for his own dams on the Snake River. So before he pushes removal of ours, let's try putting some fish passage on his dams, which we all agree, fish passage is a good thing.
Yeah.
It could open up an incredible amount of area for Snake River runs if Homer Simpson will just add that to his agenda.
And I like the fact that the wry humor there, Homer Simpson. But it is true, yeah. And, you know, kind of interesting that when Inslee came into town and was talking about the nuclear elements and all that and the development, you kind of wonder, I kind of initially wondered a little bit, is that really a light bulb, or, you know, because it's kind of a surprising turn. It's really the first time I think we've heard him openly acknowledge that form, because everything has been solar power, wind, as you said, bird blenders, and all of a sudden you kind of look at him and go, can you really, I guess what I'm trying to personally assess, okay, is this on the up and up? You know,
I'm going to give the governor the benefit of the doubt on this one, because if we want to pursue his version of a climate change agenda, this is the one thing that can do it. We have transmission capabilities here in Grant County.
Yeah.
We run our aircraft carriers with small modular reactors.
Mm-hmm.
The discovery of fusion that will produce more energy than it than used net from a reaction, we've waited for that my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
So a nuclear future with today's safer, efficient technologies is where we should be going. How many thousands of acres of farmland and scenic beauty are we going to cover pretending it's a solution when we could have a series of relatively small reactors placed where people need them?
Yeah. And some of the modular ones, which really are not that large, you know, they're saying they can power multiple cities. And then we've talked about this on the show as well. At night, if you drive Highway 12 from Walla Walla to Tri-Cities, the skyline is just covered with blinking red lights. And it's, you don't, I mean, you see the wind farms, but it doesn't really impact you until you've driven that freeway at night. And then you see just the massive amount of red lights. And it kind of reinforces to you, well, this is what they have to put up to try to equal even a small portion of a dam or a nuclear reactor. And well, it's just not feasible.
You picture a giant aircraft carrier, which is equal to a small city the size of perhaps Colfax, Othello, with a crew.
Yeah.
They're moving that ship through the water at 30 knots, and they're providing all of their power needs with nuclear reactors.
Yeah, it is pretty remarkable.
Submarines, our Navy hasn't built a conventional submarine in decades, never will.
Yeah. The nuclear-powered submarines, what was it, the 60s, 70s they started to come out with those?
I think in the 60s, the Nautilus was the premier of the nuclear Navy.
Yeah, the USS Nautilus.
The second version or third version of the USS Enterprise nuclear.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 at KONA. Senator Schessler, the budget the governor is proposing is a roughly 9% increase from his previous budget, his last two-year budget, almost 10% increase, $6.3 billion. It doesn't contain any new taxes, but it is hedging bets that some of the taxes that have been passed in previous sessions set to begin next year are going to wind up going through, namely the capital gains tax. So, as the Washington State Supreme Court, which I believe it is January 26th, is when they are going to begin hearing arguments on the capital gains tax. What happens to the governor's budget if the state Supreme Court comes back and says, nope, we agree with the IRS and 49 other states, and this is an income tax, and therefore what the legislature passed is unconstitutional?
In the short run, probably nothing. But most of Governor Inslee's budgets are pretty much unsustainable without new revenue. I think you'll see the real impacts down the road in the next biennium after that. There's enough money in the rainy day fund. There's enough things that could easily drop off the table. But it'll be prospectively it gets bad.
One of the things prospectively that could get worse is something that we got word of, I believe it was yesterday, John, and that was the waiver application that was approved by the federal government for Washington State to begin allowing non-residents, and when I say non-residents, I mean non-residents, period, people who are not in the country legally, to be able to apply for and get insurance from the Washington State health plan or the health plan finder. Estimations range anywhere between $630 million to potentially $1 billion this could cost. This sounds like this could be trouble over the long haul, and this could wind up, I mean, it already sounds that it's not necessarily sustainable. What do you and some of your peers feel about this cost now coming in something that's going to be paid for by taxpayers?
Clearly, we want a sustainable budget, and clearly we think hardworking taxpayers are overdue for some type of real tax relief. This is inconsistent. Taking a benefit away from someone is the toughest thing you're ever going to do. So once this horse gets out of the barn, you have a real problem. Then you go back retroactively. In the 90s, Gary Locke in the Republican legislature, Bill Clinton, and all others agreed on time limits on TANF, 60 months. Now the governor is proposing eliminating that check and balance in our welfare system. The welfare state is alive and well under Jay Inslee. Unfortunately, the taxpayer is really getting a bigger and bigger burden with no help in sight.
You know, it's interesting, Senator, because the governor likes to use the word equity a lot. Yet it seems like there isn't a whole lot of equity when it comes down to those that are footing the bill.
No, if you're a middle-class taxpayer, if you are a small business owner, grab your ankles. The big man's got the hack paddle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to get any easier because more of these pushes, especially now that this is going to be his potentially final budgetary cycle, potentially. We don't know what he's going to do in 2024 yet. But it seems like he is not taking his foot off the gas. He has certainly a particular legacy that he would like to leave Washington State.
Well, in a recent press conference, the governor said, when asked, do you anticipate ever doing large or general tax relief? And he said never. And he clearly means it. He has no intentions of ever giving tax relief on sales tax, property tax, or anything else that hardworking taxpayers could use.
What are some of the things? We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District. What are some of the things that you and other Senate Republicans are looking at putting forward in this session to try and, if not be able to get passed through the chamber, at least raise awareness to some of the things that are going on?
Well, I think the first presentation came from Senator Short, King, and others on the Power Washington plan about how we would get to affordable, clean energy. Do we expect that they'll embrace it? No. But you say no to bad ideas and you lead with better ones. Another case in point is crime. Met with Sheriff Raymond and others this summer. The property crimes are off the charts. We need police pursuit back. Number one priority of the Association of Washington Cities. Not a sheriff in the state that doesn't support it. Real life tells you got to do it. The Blake decision. Somebody has fentanyl, meth, heroin, and you look the other way. And after three times, maybe we'll give you a misdemeanor. By then, that person is a hopeless addict or dead.
Well, and let's look at two situations that seem to be mirroring each other. We have the CHOP situation not too long ago in Seattle. It looks like Camp Hope is on its way to becoming another version of CHOP. The City Council in Spokane votes to prohibit Spokane police from helping county deputies in any attempts to move people out of Camp Hope. But what they've seen is a dramatic increase in crime in that area, and I believe it's upwards somewhere between 70% and 85% over a two-year period of time. It's the same thing they saw at CHOP, where they saw a spike in crime. It almost seems that here's a state agency owning this land, refusing to do anything about what is a continually growing population, now going into winter months where we're going into sub-freezing temperatures that don't seem to want to allow these people to be moved to a safer area, yet what we continue to see is double-digit increases in crime. How is this something that we combat, particularly when we know that there's rumblings of other things that may or may not be addressed to do with public safety and law enforcement in this session?
Well, we know for a fact that every single night, even in Seattle, Spokane, shelter beds lay empty. And some people don't want to conform to even the most minor rules because they have Camp Dope to stay on. They have government protecting them. Commerce has spent $23 million in Spokane contracting to acquire facilities. What we have is a poverty industrial complex that the foundation makes money, their employees make money, their lawyers make money. And if they solve the problem, they don't have a job. But yet, with the addition of the old Spokane House Hotel, with the Jewels beds, the Salvation Army, Union Gospel Mission, and others. There's beds there, but they've not seen any tough love yet. Can you imagine having to ask permission to go into a state property that's a homeless shelter? And DOT, instead of fixing the roads, fixes a fence around Camp Dope. And then Camp Dope has its own newsletter now. You could subscribe and know all the goings-on at Camp Dope that wow. your listeners want to hear about. DOT conducting a newsletter for a homeless camp, putting up fences, $23 million at Commerce just for this, and no end in sight. Clearly, this isn't working, and government is not the solution here.
I was not aware of that newsletter. That is
well, I think our staff could get you a copy of it, John, that you could be a subscriber to Camp Dope News.
Wow.
You know, there's a dedicated public information person somewhere working at DOT telling you about that.
You know, we talk a lot about the misuse of public funds in a lot of different ways and avenues, and here you have a government agency willfully allowing,
condoning
spending money to preserve something on taxpayer funded land that is creating a public safety hazard, that has created a public safety hazard. This just screams of exactly what government is not supposed to be doing.
Well, if you think the decision makers in this process, the governor, the courts, if they had a large homeless encampment moved to their neighborhood, how would they like it? The West Spokane neighborhood has been bypassed, promised, and let down time and again, and now they get a homeless shelter included.
Yeah.
Why are they skeptical? Well, look at Camp Dope. Look at downtown Olympia.
We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. We know you have to run shortly, Senator, but before we go, you've been a farmer for a long time. We know that there has seemingly been a bit of a war waged on agriculture, particularly over here in eastern Washington, by the governor and some others. We mentioned the Snake River Dams earlier. What is the biggest thing as a farmer, not even as a lawmaker, but as a farmer, that concerns you about the direction things are going with the state? And do you think that agriculture in eastern Washington is threatened?
Yes, it's threatened. And people say they want family farms, but under this set of circumstances, do you want Bill Gates growing your food, or do you want 40 different families in Franklin County growing that food? I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
I think the biggest threat to my operation, my friends, neighbors, is the rapid cost of inputs rising. Fertilizer, fuel due to cap and tax, low carbon fuel standards. We look at our cost of fertilizer, crop protection, labor. And the farmer is a price taker, not a price setter. And so those rising inputs, we can adjust to weather, we can adjust to cropping prices, but we really don't have a lot of control over those inputs.
Moving the family farmer out and having more and more sell to the Bill Gates of the world and other conglomerates creates a whole different price structure, where now it's more price control than it is price taking.
Yeah, well, you can have Bill Gates, or you can have the great farmers of this region. I'll take the farmers in this region every time.
Don't get me wrong, I don't want Bill Gates, but it seems like that is the push, is to create where, once again, it's control over another aspect of something, and this would be price setting then when it comes to agriculture.
You hit the nail on the head, my friend.
And I would also think, too, given Gates' not so secret stance on certain beef and other meat products, you know, it's not nefarious to think that if you had larger conglomerates controlling portions of agriculture, you're going to be able to be a lot more heavy-handed to say what is grown and what is produced.
Well, we all know that if in doubt, Microsoft bought the competition out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Senator Mark Schessler from the 9th Legislative District joining us here on The Bottom Line. I know, Senator, we'll have a couple opportunities over the course of the session to talk to you during the program as things are going. Always appreciate your time. Thank you very much for dropping in. That you have to make your way to another stop in the district here very shortly, so we do greatly appreciate you stopping in. It's always good to see you, and we look forward to talking to you during session, as always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.